Will members please register their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the quorum?
Thirty-eight present, two absent.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, Representatives Bradley and Meekins are excused from the call of the House today. I note that Representative Bradley is here. I'll ask that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Brown?
Speaker, the PA system is adjusted so that the output of the tape is also coming through, which is why we're getting an echo.
Our chaplain today is, and has been this week, Pastor Bo Moline of the Bethel Assembly of God Church. Will the House please rise for prayer?
Eternal God, this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to greet this day with joy and enthusiasm, looking forward to good times and great accomplishments. May an unfailing optimism
Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 10th day in House Supplement Number 2.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 10th legislative day and for House Supplement Number 2.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted.
Mr. Speaker, while I'm on my feet here, I might make another announcement relative to the speakers. The staff advises me that these little microphone things can turn, and I think more out of perhaps nervous habit or something, some of us have turned them, but actually that breaks these little wires inside here, and that's what accounts for this hum that becomes apparent every few days. It's not only quite expensive to replace the little wires, I'm told, but in addition, of course, it creates a regular sound thing. So in spite of the fact that maybe you can turn them, all of us should perhaps try not to grab the mics clear up here and twist around, but just leave hands off. Thank you, Mr.
Representative Bradley?
We have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction to the chambers? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Bill Number 48 amended, Chapter Number 2, SLA 1978. House Bill Number 507, amended Senate, Chapter Number 3, SLA 1978. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. These were the bills that passed, notwithstanding the Governor's vetoes. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There is a communication from Lee McInerney, Commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, that I received yesterday at 4:20 p.m. Dear Mr. Speaker, in accordance with the provisions of Article 10, Section 12 of the Alaska Constitution and Alaska Statute 4419-260, presented herewith are recommendations of the Local Boundary Commission concerning annexation of territory to the City of Skagway, the Haines Borough, and the City of Petersburg. The recommendations will become effective 45 days after this presentation, or at the end of the legislative session, whichever is earlier, unless disapproved by a resolution concurred in by a majority of the members of each House. Signed sincerely, Lee McInerney, Commissioner.
On the annexation report, I'd like to ask the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs to take that matter up and recommend to the body any appropriate action. Are there any further communications?
There is a communication from Ernest W. Mueller, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation, transmitting regulations for the legislature's review and consideration, establishing a schedule of civil penalties for the unlawful discharge of oil. It's been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
We don't have a regular method of referring items to statutory committees. However, in this particular case, I would ask the chairman of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, Representative Osi, to review the regulations with regard to their consistency with the law that has been adopted by the legislature, since that request has been made by the administration, and to report to the legislature on whether or not the regulations conform to the law and the intent of the law. Are there further communications?
There is a communication from Nola K. Kapp, Administrator of the Department of Health and Social Services. She transmitted the fourth annual report of the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, reflecting the program from July 1, 1976 through June 30, 1977. A copy was given to each member. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Or reports of standing committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions and citations.
I have a citation in memoriam of Richard A. Jansen, requested by Representative Clark Greening and Representative Peter Loveseth.
Under our joint rules, the resolutions go to the Rules Committee, so that resolution be referred to the Rules Committee. Citation.
I have no further citations, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 657 by Miller, an act relating to transfer of tide and submerged lands and providing for an effective date.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, this is an oversight on my part. That should be by Miller and Duncan.
Bill will be referred to the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs.
House Bill 658 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to construction performed by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 659 by Buchholz and Bradley, an act providing for public disclosure of contractors and the terms of certain public contracts and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 660 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Interim Committee on Retirement. An act relating to the cost of living allowance provided under the teacher's retirement system and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Committee on Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 661 by the Judiciary Committee, an act revising the criminal laws of the state and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
House Bill 662, with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to an income tax refund for the 1977 tax year and making miscellaneous amendments to the income tax statutes and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 663 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act amending the deadline for adoption of guidelines and standards by the Alaska Coastal Policy Council to implement the state's coastal management program and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs.
House Bill 664 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the practice of optometry.
Referred to the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Service and Judiciary.
House Bill 665 by the Rules Committee by request of the Special Committee for Marine Transportation Oversight, an act relating to the Alaska Marine Transportation Advisory Board.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 666 by Bradley, an act creating the University of Alaska Structure and Physical Review Committee and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services, Finance. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 666 remain on the clerk's desk until 4 p.m. this afternoon.
I think the bills go down for printing before that. Would mean probably that the bill would not be printed until tomorrow.
Mr. Speaker, let me tell you the reason why I'm making this unusual request. Number one, because of the time that we are in the session, and number two, that I haven't been able to circulate the bill for co-sponsors. I think that this it directs The bill references the problems with the University of Alaska, and it's an attempt to sort of Alaskanize the University of Alaska into sort of an objective and dispassionate way to try to solve some of those problems. But I just got the bill laid on my desk just minutes ago. I wanted to, from a timely and from a strategic point of view, wanted to introduce it. And I'm leaving in about 15 minutes and won't be back until tomorrow afternoon after the session. And so for the courtesy to the members and self-serving on my part, I'd like, if at all possible, for the members, those who are interested, to be able to look over the bill and see if they'd be willing to, of course, associate themselves with the issue, and if not myself.
Representative Miller.
May we be at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd renew or amend my request to a reasonable 30 minutes after adjournment today rather than the 4 p.m. Thank you.
Are there any further bills for introduction?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of our daily calendar. Will clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill number 314 by Cooper, an act relating to cooperative insurance programs for property insurance coverage and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 314 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 314 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Parr, Bradley, and Brown. Having no recommendation, Hayes, Chatterton, and Carpenter. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Commerce Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, have any amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Amendment number 1 by Cooper and McKinnon, page 3, line 11. Delete items and insert risks in its place. Page 4, line 11. Delete stock.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 1.
Hearing no objection, there is objection. Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the first portion of the amendment changes the word to correspond with standard insurance terminology, and the second one takes care of a drafting error in which the agency failed to bracket the word stock.
Further discussion? Hearing, is there further objection? Hearing no further objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 314 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 314 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 314 amended by the Commerce Committee. An act relating to cooperative insurance programs for property insurance coverage and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, back some years ago, we began to notice in Alaska, and particularly in the rural areas, a lack of availability of insurance in a lot of different areas. And that has increased over the last few years. It's very difficult outside the confines of the urban areas to get any sort of homeowner's insurance. It's difficult to get property damage insurance on your automobile. And this has to do more than anything else with the fact that insurance companies didn't do very well over the last few years, and a lot of them have had to withdraw from the Alaska market entirely, so they're not here to write the insurance. What this bill hopefully will do is it will give people a chance to just bound together and to create their own insurance pools without the necessity of an insurance company at all. What they have to do is to get together and petition the director of insurance for permission to start such a pool. He has to look over any other insurance company and see if it's an appropriate arrangement. And if so, they can get together and contribute a certain amount of money. And if there's a loss during the given year, then the person gets paid. To start with, there will be it'll be applicable only to private automobiles, private motor vehicles, and privately owned residences, and up to fourplexes if the owner lives in the fourplex. If he lives in one of the units, mobile homes it applies to, and also commercial structures of up to $100,000. In other words, small stores and this kind of thing. I think that it may be an excellent way for people to go at a time where this type of property damage insurance is simply not available to most people. And if it's available, the cost of it is completely out of reason a lot of the time. Not all the time, but some of the time. It's particularly applicable in rural areas and areas on the highway system. I would say this, that it's the intent of the bill for these pools to go to an independent broker or an independent insurance agent, and there are plenty of good ones in the state of Alaska, and to allow those agents and brokers to operate these pools on a fee basis. There's no government operation or intervention other than the original approval by the director of insurance that would be required for any insurance company in any event. There's been some question about what will happen if there's not enough money in the pool to take care of the losses over a given period of time. What you do is, it's up to the association itself. They can either assess all the members for the excess needed to make up the loss, or they can share the loss on a pro rata basis. I suspect they'll elect to assess themselves, because otherwise it just simply won't be acceptable to most lending institutions. This is a move which I think we almost have to take given the insurance situation in the state of Alaska. Maybe it's not a panacea, but if it works, maybe we can expand it to other areas. I think it's well worth a try. The director of insurance does favor the bill. There were some amendments made in the Commerce Committee, and I'd like to ask the chairman to explain those amendments for the members. Incidentally, the first cooperative insurance arrangement in the United States was organized by a fellow named Benjamin Franklin right around 1770 sometime, and that association is still going on, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the main changes made by the Commerce Committee were to the original bill called for the director of the Division of Insurance to act as what's called the attorney in fact, which is in effect the manager of the pool. We eliminated that provision, and as Mr. Cooper pointed out, it will now be handled by the generally private brokers or agents. There were some changes on coverage, which Mr. Cooper also outlined, and some changes toughening up the surplus requirements to organize this type of a cooperative. And essentially, those were the changes we made.
Representative Guy.
I thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of Representative Cooper's statements when he stated that it is very difficult in the rural areas to get insurance. I very much am in support of this concept of reciprocal insurance coverage program. The concept of domestic reciprocating activities in our in our rural communities is an everyday common thing. People are interdependent upon each other. They help each other. And I think from reading reading the language in this proposed bill, it denotes exactly what I've known back home. I thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lathine.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to raise in support of this piece of legislation. I think it's very good. I happen to be a trustee involved in a similar type thing for industry, and I think this is something that's very much needed in the rural areas of the state, and it will be an excellent addition.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 314 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 2 Excused.
So House Bill 314 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 314 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Carpenter.
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill 314.
Clerk, please note Representative Carpenter's notice of reconsideration, House Bill 314. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 496 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to public utilities. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 496 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 496 and that it do pass, and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Bradley, Carpenter, McKinnon, and Brown. Having no recommendation, Parr and Hayes. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Commerce Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk of Amendments to the committee substitute.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Chatterton and Rode. Page 1, line 28. After the words to refund and before the words to the, insert the words or credit. Page 2, line 5. After the words any refund and before the word obligation on line 6, insert the words or credit.
Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask for unanimous consent to the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
There's objection, Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, with the passage of time since May of 77, when this was before Commerce, I became somewhat paranoid over the word refund. It seemed to me to be a little bit too restrictive, that it almost was tantamount to saying affected would have to go through the administrative cost of making a cutting checks and make or making cash refunds.
Is the objection maintained? Hearing no further objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Clerk, please read amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 by Rode and Chatterton. Page 2, line 1. After the word unlawful, replace the comma with a period and delete the remainder of that sentence, which now ends with the word reasonable.
Representative Rode. There's objection. Representative Rode.
Essentially, Mr. Speaker, what this does is remove the interest payments. And this amendment is submitted in the interest of the consumer and not necessarily the interest of the utility company. As an example, I'll use a average rebate, we'll say, that might be created by this difference in rates that's been delayed. We'll say they would be, a $5 rebate, depending on the month and the amount, of course. But on an average consumer, a $5 rebate and a reasonable rate would be 7.5%. That would amount to 37.5 cents or 38 cents a year. You boil that down, be about 3 cents a month. Well, if you've got 8,000 consumers in a utility company, and by time and motion study, it costs about $4 to write checks, mail them out, run them through the books, and so forth. And that would cost a utility company $32,000. The interest they'd pay would be $3,000. So in the interest of protecting the consumer, because this is going to be passed on to the consumer, I think we'd be much better off of forgetting the interest rate entirely.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I oppose the amendment. It's not true that all costs incurred by a utility are passed on to the customer. Public Utility Commission, for instance, does not allow the cost of appeals from commission decisions to be passed on if the commission decision is upheld. And I'm not all that sure that the costs of interest on unjustified temporary increases would be allowed to be passed on. Generally, those type of when a rate's in effect and is found to be unreasonable and there's a rollback, a lot of those costs are not allowed to be passed on by the utility commission, depending on case to case. And I think that if an unreasonable or unlawful rate is in effect for a period of time and ties up a certain amount of money of the utility's customers, then they should be compensated for that with the interest.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Roll call vote has been requested. The question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Freeman. Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty yeas, 19 nays, two excused.
So amendment number 2 has been adopted by the House. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, in the absence of further amendments, I'll move that the committee substitute for House Bill 496 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Just a note for the record that the HB is not showing on the...
I beg your pardon?
Just for the record, the HB is not showing on the board.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 496 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 496 amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to public utilities.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Can we have a short at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. House, stand at ease.
To order.
For the at ease, the pending question was, Shall House Bill 496 pass the House? Is there further discussion? Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, this bill is intended to take care of a couple problems the Public Utilities Commission has. The first is an ambiguity in the existing law. On line 15 of page 1, you can see that the existing law provides that they can suspend a tariff filing for an initial period not longer than 6 months. However, the law doesn't go on to specify any additional suspension periods that may be applied. So they're in a position of knowing that they have an initial period, nothing in the statute setting out any qualifications or guidelines for any additional suspension periods. So this new language sets up the additional suspension period that can be allowed and sets certain qualifications on it. The problem, one of the problems, is simply the workload the commission's facing now, and the initial 6 month suspension period usually isn't enough in the case of many larger utilities, and in the case of smaller utilities, when they're tied up on rate filings from larger utilities, they can't get to them within the 6 month period. So this allows for a second suspension period, which gives them additional time to take care of filings.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, it seems to me that the first problem that Mr. McKinnon points out, that the ambiguity can be solved by deleting the words initial. Somebody somewhere along the line, the original drafter, messed up, or revised the statutes messed up, and not picking out those words, which was deleted a long time ago. First problem, real easy to take care of without adding a whole lot of more words to our statute. And he says that the next reason is that the commission is so burdened down and they're understaffed that they can't handle the right cases before. I'm surprised at that, Mr. Speaker. I just read in the paper last night. Headline was the Crofton Hammond spit on commission. And one of the standards there is for a majority party running for governor said that the commission is not bogged down. In fact, we have so much free time. He would suggest that we give them some more work to do, dealing with the pipeline commission. We're going to put these two together, and we're going to save all sorts of money by cutting positions out, because these people don't have that much work to do. And it seems to me that in order to save face for the gentleman on the other end of the hall running for governor and the majority ticket side,
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, if I could direct a question to the previous speaker, I wonder if that's an endorsement of the person who is speaking of's program with the combination of the two commissions.
Representative Urien.
I don't merely say that at least he's not wrong all the time.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
You know, I could rise in a point of order because I thought we were not supposed to discuss members of the other body by name or in the circumstances addressed by the minority leader. But short of that, I'll also comment that he is operating on the assumption that all of the members of the majority of the party all agree. We're in the terrible habit of disagreeing all the time. If we agreed all the time, then there would be far fewer of us and we would be called Republicans. But that has nothing to do with this bill, Mr. Speaker.
I'm glad you made that point clear, Representative Brown. Representative Rode.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In relation to some remarks opposed to this bill, I might say that what this is really doing, in my mind, is we're just extending the agony another 6 months. If the commission needs some more help, and they probably do, and the utility people tell me around the state that they don't need any more commissioners, they need a larger staff, and then they can keep up with the work. Well, this year's budget for 79 budget has been increased by $132,000. So this may take care of some of the problem without this bill. I'm opposed to the bill.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Many of you have listened to me talk in the halls about program review, and I think that this is particularly good case in point of program review. There's nothing more irritating than to call someone and get placed on hold. And about all this bill does is place not only the utilities but the public on hold for an additional 6 months. I think that that's unfair. Government is losing sight of the fact that they're supposed to be serving the people. And this is a case in point. The Public Utilities Commission in this case is asking us to serve them. I've had my own difficulties with the agency in the last year requiring me to do things when I made a request of them that was really within their responsibility to do themselves. I feel that it's time to look at this agency, see if in fact they are understaffed as many of the enforcement agencies are, and take a look at enforcing the laws and the regulations that we have on the books before we go into creating all the new ones. I think that's a priority situation, so I'm voting against the bill.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, we're not granting the Public Utilities Commission any power that they don't really already have. The phrase, an initial period not longer than 6 months, is already being interpreted to mean that they can extend beyond 6 months a suspension of a rate filing. So utilities are already being put off for longer than six months. And in addition, what this bill does is now if the commission does go beyond the six-month period, it allows the utility to put the new temporary rates in effect. That's a benefit the utilities now don't have, that the commission can suspend for longer than 6 months and can leave the existing rates in effect. At least this allows the utility to collect at higher rates until the case is finally decided, subject to the refund procedure. And I think to try to hold the Utilities Commission to 6 months is just ignoring reality. It's not when this law was passed, the statute didn't contemplate the type of utilities we're dealing with now. We have RCA, which is a multinational corporation, and the examination of affiliated transactions between RCA Lascom and any of the dozens of other affiliates in the RCA group could severely tax the efforts of the staff. RCA files a consolidated tax return with its 70-odd affiliates, and isolating the utilities portion of that tax expense isn't always the easiest thing in the world. And RCA is not the only large utility that is being dealt with by the commission. And to try to restrict the commission to 6 months just ignores reality.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I think people must be reading a bunch of different bills here. Just looking at the bill as it's written, it appears to me that the current law may well be and would be interpreted by a court to be that the APUC can suspend a tariff and might be required to suspend a tariff for a period beyond that initial period of 6 months while it is considering a complex rate proceeding that perhaps the record has not been completed in. This bill, if anything, would help the utility because it makes it clear that for the period past the first 6 months, they would be able to get their needed rate increase or at some approximate level pending the determination of the case by the utility. So it would seem to me that this would help not only the commission, but it would make it easier for the utilities in the event that a rate case takes longer than 6 months. I would think that if under the current law, the APUC were to attempt to go past the initial period of 6 months and then say, okay, utility, you can provisionally have your rate increase for a while we finish your case, they might be thrown out of court and the utility wouldn't get their money. This bill helps the utilities in that regard.
Representative Urien.
Turn C of the existing law allows them to do just that. And if you want me to read it for you, I will. It says, in the case of a proposed increased rate, the commission may by order require the interested public utility or utilities to place in escrow. They collect the monies, they place them in escrow, and they're released after the rate determination has been made under existing law.
Representative McKinnon.
As Mr. Urien said, the Public Utilities Commission may do that. And in the case of RCA, they didn't do that.
Speaker. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure the utilities prefer to have the money. And in this addresses the case, among other different purposes the bill could be used for, which could be a hardship. In this case, the additional funds could be collected, and they would just have to keep track of it and keep proper accounting. The minority leader would have to have them put the money in escrow and not do anything with it while a very lengthy proceeding were continuing. So he is riding an extreme consumer horse here and not protecting the telephone utilities.
Further discussion? Representative Miller.
Be at ease.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. For the at ease, the question before the House is, shall House Bill 496 pass the House? Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 496 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 15 nays, 5 excused.
So House Bill 496 has failed to pass the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote on the committee substitute for House Bill 496.
Clerk, please note Representative Miller's notice of reconsideration. That brings us to the end of today's calendar. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the on all of our desks is a citation that's been circulated commending the officers and crew of the MV Tustamina. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this legislative citation be brought up at this time as a special order of business.
Hearing no objection, take up the citation as a special order of business. Representative Loveseth.
Mr. Speaker, I'm one of the sponsors of the citation. The crew, officers and crew of the Tustamina did a marvelous job in the rescue of two vessels, the Wind Dance, which was a sailboat, and the Seafarer. Evolved in a rescue of five people who otherwise may very well have been lost forever. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt this citation commending the officers and crew of the Tustamina.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The record show that the citation was approved unanimously. Brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Urien. House, please stand at ease. Please come back to order. We're down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? One of the items that been engaged in this week is to try to make determinations of which of the issues under the that were under the aegis of the Council during the interim need special attention during the legislative session. Several of those have been identified so far, and some of them have resulted in special committees. And today, we'll be appointing an additional special committee. Special committee on the subsistence consisting of Representative Anderson, Chairman, Representative Cotton, Representative Akers, Representative Schaefer, Representative Nakak, Representative Hayes, and Representative Cooper. Representative Urien.
Speaker, could you appoint the special committee today if you intend to
That's a good point. And to answer your question, some committees are dealing with legislation, some are not. Specifically, so far, the Special Committee on the Alaska Permanent Fund will be dealing with topics of legislation. Select Committee on Telecommunication will be dealing with bills. The Special Committee on Royalty, Oil, and Gas will be dealing with bills. And the Special Committee on Corrections will not be dealing with bills. The Special Committee on Marine Transportation Oversight will not be dealing with bills. Special Committee on Subsistence may be dealing with bills, yes.
Mr. Speaker, also, when you appoint these committees, do we increase the budget somehow or another that we operate under, and do we start as do they get staffing, they get AAs and secretaries, type thing? How does that problem occur?
That varies depending on the committee and the type of work they're doing. In any case, any additional expenditures for special committees has to be approved by legislative council. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to emphasize, too, though, in furtherance of your decision, which is quite correct, is the joint rules specifically do allow that special committees appointed by the Speaker can deal with legislation. There's just no question about that, and I wouldn't want anybody to think it was.
Is there any other unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, after what you have just transpired on your day of appointing another special committee, I had to take this opportunity to stand up and congratulate a member of the majority party. And that is our good friend in the back of the bus, Mr. Freeman, who chairs a special committee called the Special Committee for Marine Transportation Overview. And I congratulate him, Mr. Speaker, because today his committee, which is composed of all members of this body who are affected and serviced by the marine highway system, they have come up with a piece of legislation that meets with all their approval. And Mr. Speaker, I hope that some of the other members of the majority party will follow his example, because you want to take note that Mr. Freeman was able to accomplish this without being funded one thin dime. He did it on the salary which he is paid as a legislator. He did it on the per diem that he receives as a legislator, right here in River City, like it's supposed to be done. He did it without one AA or one secretary. I think I'm hopeful that chairman of other special committees follow his example and do things what you're paid to do. That's what we're here for. And without requiring all this additional funding. I'd like to point out this time, Mr. Speaker, speaking of funding and being able to come up with a bill, there was this special committee during the interim called Transportation. And this committee, which composed of several members of this body and one on the other end of the hall, as of December 31, 1977, had spent $21,606.16. And a staff, as I can see, of five, the personal services was $15,253.40. For legislators, travel and per diem, they spent $6,134.33. They have not come out with one piece of legislation, and they never called a meeting. Never had one meeting. I hope we all don't operate this way.
You might note for the record that the Interim Committee on Transportation did make number of recommendations to the legislature and to the administration, one of which has to do with the scheduling of the ships and marine highway system. And if adopted by the administration, it's expected to save in excess of $1 million a year, as pointed out by the Director of Marine Transportation, Mr. Bill Hudson.
committee has never met. And this report is essentially the ideas of one person. The least that could have been done, the very least that could have been done, is he could have gathered his members together and come out with some sort of a unified front. This is our report. The members of the committee had not even seen the report.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak on the Hall Road?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, it was kind of a surprise last night about 6:45 to find that the governor was going to make an address on the Hall Road at 7 o'clock. I have not been able to obtain a copy of that, printed copy of that address. I asked for it this morning about 8:15. I was told there were some errors and they had to retype it and have it ready about noon. Now, Mr. Speaker, as I understand it, however, essentially the proposal is to permit open access to the North Slope Hall Road, or as this body proposed, the Dalton Highway, to miners, to Alcan, to Alyeska. Otherwise, anyone who wants to go up on the Hall Road will have to go on a tour bus. Mr. Speaker, to me, that's a very simple and clear-cut case of making two classes of citizens in Alaska. The first class, the miners, Alcan, Alyeska. The second class, everybody else. And Mr. Speaker, I don't like proposals to make people second-class citizens. Now, what were the reasons given for this step? The first one, as I understand it, was that use of the road was going to interfere with Alcan when they work on the gas pipeline. Mr. Speaker, as I remember, that pipeline is going to turn at Fairbanks and head down towards Canada, going along the Alaska Highway. I don't know if the administration is going to propose to close the Alaska Highway when that happens. As you remember, this body has strongly supported the extension of the Alaska Railroad towards Canada. I don't know if the administration would propose to close the Alaska Highway, which the railroad would parallel, while we work on the railroad. Second reason given, as I understand it, is that the administration wants to protect people against themselves. Something might happen to them on that road. Now, Mr. Speaker, we have had the Denali Highway. We have the Taylor Highway. I don't know if we've been protecting people against themselves on those two. And they're pretty doggone isolated if you've been on them. I wonder how far this protecting people against themselves is going to go. Are we going to protect the backpacker so you can't go out in the woods with your backpack because you might get hurt by a bear? The hunters, the prospectors? Are we going to say that taking a small boat out down here in Southeastern, a small sailboat, is dangerous, you might get hurt, therefore you can only go on ferry boats and excursion boats of some sort, where it's a lot safer? Mr. Speaker, I would have no objection to requiring that people who would go up that road have the necessary equipment. I don't have any objection to requiring somebody who goes out in a sailboat carry a life preserver. I wouldn't object to them having to have chains and a shovel if they go up that road. I have no problem with that. Mr. Speaker, I think the proposal also ignores something else, perhaps because the gentleman who made it has never lived any long length of time in that country. Up there is a general rule. If you're in trouble, people stop. They don't just drive by you. We are not New York City, Miami, Florida, Los Angeles, California, or someplace where people are afraid to stop and offer help if you need it. I think that philosophy which exists would continue. Now, Mr. Speaker, the persons who wanted an industry-only road, which is essentially what's being proposed, include some strange bedfellows. This is a study which the members got in December on the Hall Road. Fairbanks Environmental Center, Friends of the Earth, Alaska Conservation Society, Sierra Club, Trustees for Alaska, National Audubon Society. And in bed with this group, Alcan, Alyeska, Exxon, British Petroleum. Mr. Speaker, it appears to me that the proposal is intended to please the environmentalist groups. It is a sop to the Chamber of Commerce and industry people, because it says, well, we won't close the road off entirely. The one group it doesn't really address, the ones it ignores, are Joe and Josephine Citizen, who might want to get into their pickup or their camper and drive up that road. And they are citizens like anybody else. just as much as these other people. Mr. Speaker, a final point. I hate to take the body's time too long. We did pass House Resolution 14 last year, and we asked the governor to come in with money in his budget so that the legislature could act on it concerning the Hall Road. He hasn't done this. He did tell us he would do it. We asked him to introduce any legislation that was necessary by February the 1st, we'll see if that happens, and to identify any restrictions imposed on the state by federal involvement in the road. Mr. Speaker, I think the proposal is one which people who believe that all citizens of Alaska have the same rights cannot accept. The governor apparently feels that he and the administration have the power to govern such things. I think it may be necessary for the legislature to convince them that they do not.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Loveseth?
May I have the privilege of the floor?
Without objection, on the floor, Representative Loveseth.
This is regarding House Bill 650 by Mr. Byrne, who introduced this bill yesterday, relating to a lawsuit against the federal government regarding the D2 land situation. I have not had the opportunity of reading in detail the bill, but I do support the concept. Federal encroachment is not only on lands per se, it is also in management of fish and game resources, for an example. When we first achieved statehood, the then Secretary of Interior, Mr. Seaton, gave the state of Alaska the right to manage and control their natural resources. I feel that the federal government has indeed violated this contract that was made with the state of Alaska, and I feel that now that if we do not stand up to be counted, we will forever commit ourselves and our children and our children's children to bondage as second-class citizens, to coin a phrase from Mr. Parr.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I want to announce a Judiciary Committee meeting today at 3 o'clock on the criminal code. But further, I wanted to announce what our schedule is on the criminal code. We're going to continue the committee review this week and next week. And then on February 1st and 2nd, the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee will be having joint public hearings. And any of the members that know of people that would potentially like to testify, I'd hope they would notify us and would make sure that they have all the drafts and commentary on the proposed code. But after those joint hearings, then the committee would be going into markup on the legislation.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource Committee will meet today at 1 p.m. in room 118, Capitol Building, taking up HCR 83, Fishing Taxation Policy, House Bill 555, Fishing Taxation Law, House Bill 569, Transplanting a Caribou, House Bill 572, Travel and Per Diem for Border Fishing Game, House Bill 573, Commercial Fishing Loan Act, House Bill 574, Commercial Fisherman Loan, House Bill 575, Production Credit Association.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 this afternoon to review the health budget, the natural resources and environmental conservation budget, and the public protection budget. If we can get to some other category, maybe we'll do that too if we have time. It depends on what budget books are ready up there. Those meetings, once again, are optional for the members.
Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. State Affairs will be meeting at 1:15 SJR 16 related to interim committees of the legislature, the work that they do, and HB 201, Representative Hayes, capital city name contest.
Representative McKinnon.
Commerce will meet tomorrow morning at 8 to take up Senate Bill 98, Miscellaneous Amendments to the Banking Statutes.
Representative Parr.
House Committee will meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon. House Bill 489, Labor Relations Between School Boards and Employees.
Further announcements? One announcement that I'd like to make, just get a clarification on the name of the Special Committee on Marine Transportation Oversight. That is the correct title of that committee. One other point, where chairmen have long lists or agendas for meetings, it would be helpful if those lists, long or short, were turned into the clerk so that the list can be posted correctly on the board. The further business to come before the House. Representative Miller.
Yeah, one social announcement, Mr. Speaker. The Alaska Airlines will be hosting a reception for the members of the of the 11th Alaska Legislature, but we get to come too. But that'll be at the Gold Room at from 6 to 8 p.m. Mr. Speaker, the I've been asked to make this announcement. Capital Connection, which is the name of a daily 15-minute Capital News program produced by Alaska Public Radio, is now being broadcast Monday through Friday at 6:35 p.m. and 7:20 a.m. on KTOO, which is the Juneau FM station. Also, just for the information of the group, tonight at 6 p.m. on K2, they'll be broadcasting the President's State of the Union speech, and the speech will be followed by a nationwide discussion of the President's address by noted political commentators, and that'll be followed in turn by telephone call-ins from listeners all across the country, and that'll run from the time the President speaks up to about 9 p.m. If there's no further business to come before the body, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
No objection. The House is adjourned.